promised us of spending eternity with him, of going to heaven and so forth. That's talked about in Psalms. But first, we'll review again. Let's take a slow review. So first, prophecy. Can anybody think of one verse in Psalms that's prophetic? Anybody? Even if you kind of know it. Nobody? So Psalm 16:10, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. There, I did that one. Now prayer. Can anybody think of one verse in Psalms about prayer? Just one. Not one, Nikki? Psalms 37:5, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. All right, the Word of God. Can anybody think of one verse in Psalms about the Word of God? That was number three, our third journey. The Word of God. Just one verse. Putting everybody on the spot, huh? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. There's one. Praise. One verse on praise. the last verse in Psalms. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. So there we go. Trust. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Beth. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. It's a great verse, except it's in Proverbs. That's okay. But it's a great verse about trusting the Lord. Penitential. It means repenting, getting right with God when we've sinned. Psalm 51, David said, what? Create in me a clean heart. Amen. He also said, restore to me the joy of thy salvation in Psalm 51. All right, how about number seven, a verse on God? We looked at 400 verses about God in Psalms. Anybody think of one? How about God is our refuge and strength? Amen. A very present help in trouble. Trials. Any verses in Psalms about going through trials? Which one? 23. Amen. All of Psalms 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Amen. How about God's guidance? God promised to guide our steps. Psalm 5:8, make thy way straight before my face. Number 10 last week, inner graces, peace, joy, and gratitude. We looked at 60 verses last week. Think of one verse. Mona? Amen. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. Amen. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Thank you. Today, we look at our hope. So, what God has promised us and how it sustained David often through his trials, and it sustains us as well, this faith that there's more to life than this life on earth. Amen? If that were not so, we wouldn't be here today, would we? If it was only about this life, if evolution is true and we're just animals and we die, then why on earth would we go to church? That doesn't make any sense. We would just go out and eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, right? So it's about our hope. It's about eternity. It's about God's promise. And even David understood this. He didn't have the New Testament, but God did commune with him. He was a man after God's own heart. So Psalm 16:11 gets us introduced to this. We'll pray and we'll dive in. Who can read first? Roy.
Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore.
In thy presence is fullness of joy. But look what he says. At thy right hand there are pleasures for how long? Evermore. So David here obviously is talking about more than just on this earth. He's talking about the future, isn't he? At thy right hand. Well, David wasn't at God's right hand. He was here on earth. But one day we will be in heaven where there will be pleasures forevermore. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for your word and how it speaks to us in all these different ways, especially this book. Thank you for the blessing it's been to us. Guide us as we look into it today. May we learn and grow through your precious and powerful word. We love you and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So today is about our hope. Look at chapter 17 and verse 15. Kelvin, if you'd read that for us. 17:15. Again, a promise about eternity.
As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness.
So David says, one day I will behold the face of Almighty God. Isn't that something? And when I awake, obviously from physical death, what? I will have thy likeness. Now, these are truths that we as Christians enjoy in the New Testament, but even David understood that one day he would be with the Lord and he would have God's likeness. The sin nature would be gone, a new body and so forth. All right, next chapter, 18, verse 2, Nathan, if you'd read that.
The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, in my high tower.
Amen. So notice he's saying, my deliverer, my strength, in whom I will trust. He is the horn of my salvation. So God is not only all these things for us here on earth, but he's also our salvation. Amen. He also saves us from sin and gives us eternal life. And then, of course, Psalms 23, which someone mentioned earlier, Isaiah, we'll just look at verse 6.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
We sing that, don't we? And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Yep. Forever is a long time. Amen. So this is obviously not just talking about God's earthly house, the temple that was at Jerusalem. This is talking about God's house in heaven. Amen. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a great way to finish the most popular psalm in the world. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So these are all about our hope in the Lord, our 11th journey, number 11, so 25:20 will be our next verse. I guess, Roy, Ultimi, read that for us. Psalms 25:20.
Keep my soul, deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee.
So when we get saved, we are trusting God to keep our soul. Amen? To keep it, to protect it, to preserve it. Because without God, our soul will end up in hell. So keep my soul, for I put my trust in thee. Amen. 27:13, Roy.
I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Oftentimes we go through heavy trials here on earth and we're even tempted to faint, aren't we? We're told often in scriptures, faint not. But David said, I'd fainted unless... So this helped me to get through this particular trial, unless I would believe that one day I would be in the land of the living. So I don't think he's talking there about earth, is he? If we had to name earth, it would not be the land of the living. It would be the land of the dead, wouldn't it? Because most people on this earth are spiritually dead. So the land of the living is obviously talking about a place where everybody has eternal life, which would be heaven. All right, 31:24 will be our next verse, Kelvin.
Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord.
Again, we're talking about our hope. And if David is not talking about eternity, then what does this even mean? If there's not life beyond the grave, hoping in the Lord, well, God's eternal. And if we aren't eternal, then what does this even mean to hope in the Lord? It means that we're going to hope in him forever. Amen. And we're hoping in him for our salvation, for our eternal life and so forth. So this is our hope. It's God. 33:18 will be next. Nathan. The eye of the Lord. Does Almighty God, the God that made the universe, have literal eyes? or is he a spirit?
I'm saying God's a spirit.
So then what does God mean? This is what's called idiomatic language. It means that God often put things in the Bible to help us understand things. Does God have literal eyes, literal hands, literal feet? No. He's a spirit. He's everywhere, right? So God put these types of things in the scriptures to help us understand, because they're things that we can relate to as humans here on earth. That was just a little side lesson there about idiomatic language, because some people get confused by the idiomatic language and they take it, they say, oh, we have to take this literally. Well, then you get into serious trouble, because the Bible says that we're to hide the word of God in our hearts. Is that talking about our literal pump that's beating 60 to 100 times a minute, pumping blood throughout our body? Is that what that's talking about? Or is it talking about our soul, our person, you see? So we got to be careful and make sure that we understand when God is using idiomatic language, and this is a good example of that. But what the lesson is that he sees everything, amen? And especially those who, what? Hope in his mercy. If it wasn't for the mercy of God, we would have no hope, amen? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Titus 3:5. All right, 37:18. Whose turn is it? Is it not yours? Is it Roy's? Is it Nathan's? Nathan? No, it's it must be Roy's turn then. Okay, Roy.
The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever.
Ah. So our inheritance is forever. That's good news, isn't it? If our inheritance was only what happens here on earth, we're in serious trouble, aren't we? Because we're told to sacrifice and give all to God. But God says our inheritance is forever. So again, this is about our hope. Amen. 37, 28, and 29, Kelvin. Chapter 37, 28 and 29. Are you using a literal Bible?
What?
Well, just most of you young people use your phones. It shocked me a little bit.
37, 28, 29. The Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not the saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever.
So first of all, the saints are what? Preserved forever. Amen? That's good news, isn't it? That we are preserved forever. You know, Jude chapter 1 says those who are preserved in Jesus Christ. Jude 1:1. But it also says that we'll inherit the land and dwell therein forever. So this obviously is not talking about this land, because we know this gets burnt up, right? So he's talking about a future land, the new heaven and the new earth, and that's our inheritance, and we'll dwell therein for how long? Forever. Amen? So we read about the new Jerusalem coming down and having a new earth and all that. We get to be part of that. Praise God. All right, 38:15. Nathan. In thee do I hope. God is our hope. Hallelujah. 39:7, Isaiah.
And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee.
I hope all of us can say that our hope is in God and in nothing else. Amen. Now, 42, verses 5 and 11, shows how we should handle when we have major trials and when we get discouraged. What's the answer? Let's see. 42, 5, and 11, Roy, if you would.
Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. Who is the help of my countenance and my God?
Amen. Yes, they were the same thing, and I wanted you to see that this psalm is about trials that David was going through that led to him being cast down in his soul, led to him being disquieted, in other words, unsettled. But then he gave his own solution, didn't he? Hope thou on God. Hope thou on God. If you're discouraged, if you're down, if you're disquieted, hope thou on God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. All right, 48:14. Kel, any questions or comments up to this point? Our hope is in the Lord, his salvation and eternity. 48:14, Kelvin.
For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death.
Even unto death. Isn't that beautiful? So God will not only be our guide here on earth, but he'll be our guide even unto death. He'll be there. Remember Stephen, as he was dying, God gave him a glimpse and he saw Jesus standing, welcoming him home. Nathan, 49:15, if you would.
God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. He shall receive me.
So yes, the grave has some power, but not over us. This says God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, which means the grave holds no power over those who have placed their faith in Almighty God. 56:13. Isaiah.
For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?
So he already said, my soul's been delivered from death. Amen. Not talking about his body, because our bodies do die, but our soul has been delivered from death. But he says, and while I'm here on earth, keep my feet from falling, and one day, Lord, I will walk in the light of the living. Amen. 61:4, Roy.
I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings.
So we will abide in his tabernacle forever. Amen. Forever. 71:5, Kelvin.
For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth.
Again, God is our hope. And then 73:24-26, Nathan.
Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and upward, precede me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.
So God will receive me to glory. That's our hope. Amen. And notice he is at the end, he's my portion forever. Not just on earth, but forever. Hallelujah. All right, 86:13, Isaiah.
Well, great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell.
Aren't you thankful he's delivered our soul from hell? Hallelujah. 116, verse 9, Roy. Amen. And then 116, verse 15, Kelvin.
Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.
That's a very powerful verse. I don't think I've ever preached a funeral where I haven't quoted that verse. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. He knows when his saints die, and it's precious to him, and he is there. Amen. Any thoughts or questions up to this point? We'll go to the big chapter, 119, verse 43. Nathan?
Take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hope in my judgments.
Our hope is in God, but our hope is through his word. Amen? We can't hope in God unless we know what we're hoping for, and that's why God wrote it down, why we're reading it today. Verse 49, we'll be in this chapter for a while. Verse 49, Isaiah.
Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope.
Amen. And then verse 74, Roy.
They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, as I have hoped in thy
And then 81, Kelvin.
My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word.
Amen. 114, Nathan.
Thou art my hiding place and my shield, I hope in thy word.
And 147, Isaiah.
I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hope in thy word.
And 166, Roy. So notice the hope that we have is grounded or founded in the Word of God. How can you have hope if you don't know what it is, right? Or who it is, and it's all written down for us, praise God. All right, 121, 7 through 8, Kelvin. I love that word preserve in the Bible. It talks about our security in Jesus Christ. But notice he'll preserve our soul, first of all, but then it says, for how long? Forevermore. He will preserve our soul. Hallelujah. Psalm 125, verse 1, Nathan.
They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever.
Abideth forever. So is this talking about the literal Mount Zion over in the Middle East? Or is this talking about a different Mount Zion? It's talking about God and his kingdom in heaven. Amen. Because it's going to abide forever. But it says, so shall we. We will abide forever. That's our hope. Eternal life. 130 verse 5, Isaiah. Again, our hope is founded in through the Word of God. It's in God himself, of course, and his promises, but we read those in here. And then 142, verse 5, Roy.
I cried unto thee, O Lord, and said, thou art my refuge, my portion in the land of the living.
Amen. And then Kelvin 146, verse 5. So God says there's even happiness found when we hope in God. Amen? God knows us. He made us. He knows what makes us truly happy. 147:11, Nathan.
The Lord taketh pleasure in him that fear him, and those that hope in his mercy.
Amen. So our hope is in God through his word. And God has promised us eternal life. God has promised us heaven. Hallelujah. That is our hope. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to bring that hope. If you look at Titus chapter 2 quickly, we'll finish here. Down in verse 13, Titus 2. Look what it says. Looking for that blessed hope. Amen. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Our hope is found in our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, through his word. And that hope is that Jesus is coming back to get us and take us to glory where we will spend forever with him in heaven. Hallelujah. Thoughts or questions about our 11th journey through Psalms, our